Hello and welcome, everybody. This is the Spitballin' Podcast, an official Texas Rangers podcast. I'm Ben Rogers, and I'm joined by my good buddy Jamie Newberg. We love talking Texas Rangers baseball, and if you enjoy this podcast, please tell your friends to listen and tune in and look for it and subscribe. We've been talking about this for a while, Jamie. We've been hard charging towards October baseball, and boy, we are right on the doorstep now. And essentially, the Rangers win tonight, and they lock up home field advantage throughout the playoffs. How much more important do you think it is to have home field advantage as opposed to, say, picking the exact right opponent? In other words, say, Cleveland would be the opponent you'd want to face, but you'd have to lose a couple games and not get home field. What would you rather have, a hand-picked opponent or home field advantage?
You know, we've talked about this really all year, that I kind of feel like, you know, this team's not trying to do whatever it can to win one playoff series. This team is built to win a World Series, and that's the objective. And to win a World Series, you can't really back in. So I'm not so concerned as about which opponent the Rangers draw, because they're going to have to beat two very good teams to get to the World Series in some order. I think home field makes more of a difference. The team has clearly demonstrated this year that they've got that Castle Doctrine going again. I think if they win one of these three games in the Tampa series, they set an all-time franchise record for home wins, and they're right at about winning two-thirds of their games at home, and that's huge. Obviously it's good for the fan base to have more home games. It's good for the coffers in terms of money coming in. I would just prefer to have more home games than not. And, you also, whether it's a 5 or 7-game series, you certainly don't like having the first two on the road if you can avoid it, just because you want to set a tone at home and, hopefully win those first two, notwithstanding what happened last year where they went out on the road and won both those games and you felt like, well, up 2-0 against Toronto and coming home, this one's in the bag, and it obviously wasn't. But to me, home field right now is more important than the opponent, on top of which, if you're going to try to game things where you end up facing Cleveland, that means you're going to lose at least a couple games. Well, I guess you probably have to lose all three in the Tampa series, and no one's going to want to go into the playoffs on a 3-game losing streak, because then you start to have doubts about how this team is clicking. So, to me, let's just win at least one of these games in the Tampa series and get that home field and draw whoever it is we draw.
Yeah, I feel like this team is supremely confident. The people out there will chatter about the, their one-run wins or their run margin, their run differential. And, there's a lot of talk about that, and is this team lucky? And I think this is just a statistical outlier team. I mean, when you look up and down, I feel really good about their chances. Obviously, you get to the postseason, anything can happen, but I don't care about any of that. I mean, I look at a team that has Cole and you at the top of the rotation. That's as formidable as anybody has out there in all of baseball. I mean, they're definitely in the discussion. That could be the best one, too. I think you look at how deep this lineup is. I mean, this has been the year of JD. All these amazing moves, whether it's Beltran or Lucroy or even Gomez or Desmond before the season. There's just been so many little maneuvers here. This lineup is deep, deep, deep. And, now with Jeffress back in the bullpen, Shepard's looking like he can contribute. I feel like the bullpen is back on track. I feel as good about this team going into October as I ever have for a Ranger team headed to October. And that said, I think that's obviously permeating throughout that room. So I don't think these guys, anyone in the organization, is necessarily worried about who they face. I think they're just ready to go on a deep run.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I wouldn't leave Barnett out of that discussion on the bullpen rounding back into form. Getting him back is huge, and the bullpen was 2-3 weeks ago the big issue, right? That's we were talking about now. You got a couple guys that are out. You got a couple guys that are healthy but have no command right now, and the thing is kind of there's some hiccups in the pen. Well, now, they're on a franchise record run of scoreless innings out of the bullpen, and getting Jeffress and Barnett back with fresh arms, getting Shepherds, which was a huge surprise in terms of not only getting him back, but him working his way into that circle of trust pretty quickly, where it's a foregone conclusion right now that he's a playoff pitcher. Nobody would have said that a month ago. Dyson seems to be back into form. You know, it had a little bit of an uneven outing the night that the team clinched. But that said, his velocity seems to be back. The movement is there. Sometimes the movement is his worst enemy because, you know, the ball, if hitters aren't jumping at it, tends to slide out of the strike zone. Mm-hmm. Right now, Diekman is probably the guy that, you know, hopefully he gets one or two outings in this Rays series and shows that he's starting to get things locked back in. But the beautiful thing about the bullpen rounding back into form and the fact that the Rangers were able to lock things down in terms of a playoff spot early is that Jeff Banister has really been able to spread out the relief work to where no one's had to pitch three straight nights. There's been not much where guys have had to go two straight nights. That's partly due to, you know, Hamels going deep. Hopefully Darvish goes fairly deep again tonight where you don't find yourself using three or four relievers. And that's been good for the bullpen. But getting back to your point, yeah, I think this team right now has to be the scariest opponent for anyone in the American League because the lineup is deep. The rotation seems to be maybe not a strength past the top two, but Perez has been pretty good. You know, most nights the past 3-4 weeks, he's been really good. There's a few hiccups in there. Colby Lewis hasn't been as consistent as he would like coming back from his injury, but he's a guy you trust that, you know, when those playoff lights go on, that he finds another gear. I liked that in Hamels' last outing, after a shaky first three innings, he seemed to get things locked in. The time before that, on the night of the clinch, he was fantastic. So you feel good about Hamels. Darvish was great last time out. He goes tonight as we're recording this. Hopefully he's strong again. They probably take the foot off the gas a little bit and probably pull him after 80 to 90 pitches. So the rotation seems to be going in a good way. And, yeah, things seem to be sort of falling into place. That's real scary. Things, you know, bad things can happen in a short series, a short playoff series, meaning a best of five. And as great as we feel about, you know, this next month of baseball, it could be over in three games. You know, we know that. But the good thing is the team knows that. Some guys on the team were around in 2011, and a whole lot of them were around last year. You know, a couple times where you felt like you had a series in the bag and it got away from you, and that taste is still in their mouth. So I think we got a really hungry group that's playing well right now.
So, you know, there's the way it looks. The Rangers, if everything goes perfectly, the Rangers win tonight with you, Darvish, and then they're able to take the next couple of games off because they'll have secured the best record in the American League. And since the American League won the All-Star game, they'll have home field advantage throughout the entire playoffs. They'll be able to take the last two games off, so to speak. And then in terms of who they're going to play, if that happens, then they'll play the winner of the wild card game. And right now it's looking like that'll be Toronto versus Baltimore, although Detroit is trying to get back into that conversation. But for me personally, of those three teams, or even if you just want to narrow it down to Baltimore or Toronto, man, if the Rangers do end up playing Toronto, that is just going to be so tense. That's so much drama. I mean, you go back to last year, you go to the Rougned Odor punch of Bautista, just all the tensions being super high, what happened in that stadium, the Elvis narrative where he melted down, and the weight of just playing in that frenzied atmosphere. I want to take this in this direction. My esteemed colleague Jeff Skinwade brought this up the other day on our radio show. Let's say it is Texas versus Toronto. Do you think Major League Baseball would put those games in prime time, considering all those storylines, or are they just too busy catering towards the Red Sox or that type of an idea?
Well, unfortunately, I think it's not just the Red Sox, but you know, I've heard something about the apparent fact that Toronto viewership doesn't count toward you know, the viewership ratings that MLB compiles, and so Toronto, you know, is almost inevitably going to play a day game when there's two games being played. I think Texas would be in bad shape in terms of playing at night against Toronto, unless it just happens to be, you know, a day where the other American League series is off. And that's unfortunate. But, you know, if you were to take that out of the mix, there's no question that just from a drama standpoint and a tension standpoint, that the Toronto-Texas series would just be insane. I mean, I mean, like you said, it doesn't just go back to last October, which would be enough to make it a highly dramatic series. But then the fact that the very last time these two played, these two teams played each other, was when the benches cleared. And not just cleared, but, you know, ended up in a fight that they still show highlights from on national, you know, baseball shows. It was just, it sets up the kind of series that should be prime time. But if it turns out Texas does play Toronto, especially, well, I mean, unless something crazy were to happen in the next 3 days, it would be the ALDS. You know, Texas is going to draw the wild card, it looks like, so they wouldn't play in the CS. Man, Texas, Toronto in a best of five would be crazy, but I do think there would be a bunch of daytime games.
But I don't like that. I mean, if I could pick one of those teams, I mean, I guess I'd rather play Detroit or Baltimore, just because, look, if five-game series is more anything goes than anything. If you're in a seven-game series, you know Cole and Yule each going to get two starts, right?
Right.
And so you feel like the better team, you know, has a better chance of winning that. That said, you know, over the longer course, five games, the momentum, the chaos, I mean, that all seems to fall into, you know, not that the Rangers would absolutely lose that, of course not, but it just makes it essentially more of an anything goes type, just, I don't know, alley brawl.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I hate that it's going to probably, you know, end up being a punishment by the networks, but that's where it's headed. If Texas plays Toronto, really whoever plays Toronto, they're going to end up getting the non-primetime slot. And in a way, I go back and forth. Part of me says, man, let's try to avoid Toronto in a best of five because, you know, like you said, anything can happen in that shorter series. You know, Toronto's starting pitching is good enough that, you know, those guys, they may not be, you know, have a Hamels and Darvish at the top, but they do have guys that can shut you down. And we saw that last year. And so, you know, even on nights you've got Hamels or Darvish going, it could end up being a 2-1 game, and you never know where those fall. So in one sense, I kind of feel like, you know, let's try to avoid Toronto in a best of five. The other side of me thinks, you know what, bring it on. Let's take them head on right away out of the gate. You know, they're going to have to throw, you know, Sanchez or, you know, depending on how this weekend goes for them, they may need to throw their one or two in the wild card game just to emerge out of that and continue in the playoffs. And then, you know, Texas would theoretically only have to face that pitcher once and be toward the end of the series. So, in a sense, bring Toronto on, not a problem. You know, they're the ones who have something to prove against us, not the other way around. So I, you know, again, going back to what we said at the top, I'd rather just see this team get home field and then whoever the opponent is, bring it on. It's fine with me, whoever it is.
All right, so the name of this podcast is Spitballing, and we're just spitballing here, and this just came to me. As we're sitting here talking about this, you know, the idea of the dramatic nature of that series, the storylines, the narratives, all that is just running through my mind. That would just be unbelievable. The tension would be off the charts. However, having said that, to win that series in that environment with that tension would seemingly be a momentous catapult for whoever emerges from that series. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, the postseason's a lot about momentum and can you get something going at the right time? And, man, to win that series might just be enough to propel you all the way through. I mean, that you'd be riding high to beat the Blue Jays.
Or you go back to 2010 where they beat the mighty Yankees, who had knocked them out of the playoffs badly three times a decade earlier, and then they had almost nothing against the Giants.
Dang it, Jamie!
You know, it can go one of two ways. You don't want to have a letdown because you feel like you just, you know, you toppled the team that you had to gear up most for. You don't want to have any sort of letdown. And I just don't think this team's the type that has letdown in them. You know, 2010 was different because the team had never won a playoff series, let alone never been to a World Series. So not the same thing. And I really think Jeff Banister is the right manager, you know, in terms of keeping a team from letting down. But I wouldn't say that, you know, having just an insanely intense ALDS necessarily catapults a team, because sometimes you almost feel like, you know, you left everything out on the field for a series, and sometimes it doesn't necessarily, you know, translate to a couple days later when that next one starts.
So three games to go, all against the Rays, and Rangers just need to win one to clinch a best record of the American League, home field advantage throughout the playoffs. You got Yu Darvish going tonight. Colby, then Martin. You obviously want all three of those guys to have good outings, especially you, Darvish, just so you can feel good going in. You want Diekman to fine-tune this thing up. But probably the biggest storyline for this series is the return of Shin-Soo Choo. And, you know, I spoke to somebody who got a look at him out in Arizona and said he looks fantastic. He looks like the same old guy. They don't think it's going to be a hard thing for him to get fine-tuned and back up to speed. And so, you know, when you go, you know, assuming all goes well in this series, you get to the first round of the playoffs and Shin-Soo Choo is back. And it seems to be fairly obvious that Gomez has played his way into this lineup. And if somebody's going to sit when Choo returns, just in terms of positionally speaking, it's going to be Nomar Mazara.
I would agree with that. For a couple reasons. In the playoffs, you want to have your best defense out there that you can. Sometimes that means bringing in a guy in the seventh inning, eighth inning, depending on where you are in your batting lineup, and you get a guy out there to shore up your outfield defense. But sometimes in this situation is a good example of it. It could dictate who starts. And I think Carlos Gomez is at a point where he's not a platoon player. You're not just going to start him against left-handed pitchers the way he's going. So if he's in the lineup, and Desmond's obviously your center fielder, you've got Beltran, you've got Choo, you've got Mazara for right field and DH. You're not going to sit Beltran. He's a proven postseason beast, and he's a leader on this team, and he's a guy that, you know, you traded for him for the postseason. It wasn't just to get to the postseason. So he's going to play, whether he's in right field or DH. So it's down to Choo and Mazara. You know, Choo is obviously another proven veteran who hasn't been around a couple months. So you have to decide, you know, do you want that veteran stability, a guy that reaches base, a versatile offensive player who had a fantastic second half last year and really carried this team to the playoffs in a way. You know, if he looks like he's in form, you don't want that guy on the bench. You want that guy to be able to impact the game every time he comes up. And Mazara, for his part, after his, you know, incredible first half, has been not the same player in the second half. Not a knock on him. He's a kid. He's 20, 21 years old, and he's never played a season this long. He's certainly never played games with this kind of meaning this last month. And the power's not gone. Every once in a while, he gets into one that goes 430 feet, but he's not squaring up as often on just in general. And I'm not talking about balls going over the fence, but just, you know, taking a pitch on the outer half and, you know, stroking it to left center field. We're not seeing as much of that. He doesn't offer you plus defense. He's not a good base runner. Well, I don't want to say he's not a good base runner. He's not fast. He tends to clog up the bases a little bit. Not that Choo is a burner, but when you recognize that Mazara doesn't really give you anything on the base paths that another player, you know, couldn't give you, and he's not a tremendous asset defensively, he might just be the odd man out. And there could be opportunities where you're going to pinch hit with him. Not that this lineup has a whole lot of players you would pinch hit for. But I think Mazara probably makes the roster. But then you do have to consider, is he a guy that you might leave off the roster and go with a guy like DeShields and also carry Hoying? So you've got a guy that could come in for Choo, for instance, late in the game defensively. So I think it's interesting. I think Mazara is in the conversation for who starts in right field and might even be in a conversation of whether he makes the postseason roster.
Wow, that's awesome. I don't think it's awesome for Mazara. I just think it's an awesome point that you made and one that I hadn't considered, that he wouldn't even be on the roster. But you do make some good points. Now, in terms of Choo being back in the batting order, you know, obviously Gomez has been fantastic in that leadoff spot. Do you think that the Rangers would put Choo right back in the leadoff spot? I mean, Evan Grant had a great article in the Dallas Morning News today talking about a couple options. Choo, you know, could hit leadoff. You know, you could, Ian Desmond has been slumping a little bit. You could go with Choo and Gomez, or Gomez Choo at 1-2, back Ian Desmond up a little bit, or you could just pop Choo in the number two hole, or you could just, you know, there's many different options you could go here, or you could just pop Choo in the back of the batting order. What do you think they'll do with Choo in terms of the order?
I don't know. I mean, any of those are good options in the sense that you've got a guy that's producing at one. You've got Andrus that's locked into the bottom of the order. You're not going to move Gomez down there, at least at the very bottom, because, you know, Andrus is in a place you don't want to touch him. Now, could you move Gomez maybe to seven, extend the lineup a little bit down, move everybody else up? I suppose you could do that. But the way he's going right now, I think you don't mess with that. And Chu either slides in at two, which has the benefit of giving you a right-left at the top, and move Desmond down a little bit. Or you could put Chu around six or seven himself because, you know, he's a guy with enough pop that he can hit toward the bottom of the order. Not the bottom, but the back end of the middle of the order and give you a little bit of extra base potential. I think Chu fits in a lot of different possible ways. And, you know, maybe how the rest of the lineup looks this weekend, even though I wouldn't expect anybody to play all 3 days, especially if they're able to clinch tonight. You know, if Gomez goes 0 for 7 this weekend with 5 strikeouts and looks like he's scuffling just a little bit, then, you know, maybe that dictates what you do with him. But, you know, I definitely want to see what Chu looks like this weekend. And if he looks like he's seeing pitches well and working counts like he, you know, he does when he's going well and, you know, stroking the ball like he did last year in the second half, he fits obviously somewhere in the lineup in a key spot, and Jeff Banster is going to have a lot of options on what to do with him.
Yeah, and I will say this about Chu. I think the one thing, even if Chu is, you know, gets fine-tuned and is ready to go, as I think he will, I think the one thing that will be slower to come along would be his strength. And so I don't think he'll be driving the ball as much as he typically would. I do see him as a guy who will be working the count and slapping the ball around a little bit, which might be more conducive to the front of the lineup as opposed to that option of bumping him back, you know, with, you know, taking advantage of the pop that he has shown at time. So if that's the case, do you see him maybe being in that one or two spot?
So let's just see how he looks these next few days, because if he does look like he doesn't have his rhythm or his strength, then it becomes an easier deal. Then you either put him toward the bottom of the lineup or you even, you know, consider, you know, sitting him at least against left-handers. And then Beltran, you know, plays right field and you go with something different at DH, or maybe even Rua gets a start. You know, there's different things you can do, but I think the fact that Chu came through his few days at Instructs healthy and, you know, looking good as far as our internal scouting is concerned, at least gives you confidence to throw him out there this weekend, see what it looks like, and then make the decision.
The next time we record a Spitballing podcast, we'll be hard charging. We'll be done hard charging. We'll be in October baseball. You fired up?
I'm fired up, man. We've been, I mean, for what, 7.5 months now, we've been waiting for this. And it's been an incredibly fun season. You know, one of the most entertaining seasons this team has had for various reasons. And I can't wait to see what's ahead.
Awesome. Me either. Hey, thanks, brother. Look forward to doing it again next week. Thanks to all of you for listening to this official Texas Rangers Baseball Spitballing podcast. For Jamie Newberg, I'm Ben Rogers saying until next time, happy playoff baseball, everybody.